away from the Zachariah study for a week here, and I want to share some things that are on my heart concerning this virus and how I believe we as Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ, should respond. And one of the things that, and then we're going to open it up and let you talk as well, but there's a video, Dave Gamble told me about this video that I found it on Fox News. It's about a girl quoting scripture to her brother who's afraid. He has autism, and I thought, you know, isn't that just like God? I thought of the scripture verse, a little child shall lead them, and showing us what we need to do for those who are fearful. And I don't know if there's going to be an ad or not. Every time I played it, there was an ad. So if there is, bear with the ad. Are you ready, Josiah, back there? Yep, okay. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, and then I'd like to read verse 12 also. I'm not going to really preach here. I just want to share a few thoughts. It'll be a lot less than I normally share, but I just wanted to share these thoughts that God put on my heart this week. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I think that is a great word for us today. For all of us, because we all face fears of one sort or another. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. Read a story about a pastor who was riding in a taxi, and he leaned up and tapped the taxi driver on the shoulder, and the driver screamed and lost control of the cab, bounced up over the curb, and stopped just short of a plate glass window. For a few moments, everything was silent, and then the cab driver said, I'm sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me. The frightened passenger apologized and said he didn't realize a tap on the shoulder would frighten him so much. And the driver said, no, it's entirely my fault. See, this is my first day driving a cab. I've driven a hearse for the last 25 years. I thought we could use a little lightheartedness to begin with. But you know, that story describes a lot of people today. They are jumpy, fearful, afraid. Mark Hitchcock said, fear is the mood of the mob. There is a stampede of fear out there. You know, fear is a great motivator. Preparation is one thing, but a dominant obsession and fear is another. We need to conquer our fear, and we need to face it with faith. It was in 1933 that Franklin Roosevelt gave those words that echo in our minds when he said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, those are beautiful words, but I don't totally agree with them. For one thing, there are some things that fear saves us from. It keeps us safe. And maybe we shouldn't say really fear, but a respect for certain things. But Jesus literally told us that we need to fear on one occasion. He said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And if you are not saved, then you can be afraid. You do have something to be afraid of. But if you are saved and you are a child of God, you have nothing to fear. But I would fear if I someday knew that I was going to face a future without God. And if I were to stand before him someday, as my judge, and my sins open and bare before him, I would be afraid. But thank God that Jesus Christ has come to forgive us of our sin and to erase that slate, so that when we stand before God, the blood of Christ covers those sins. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe in frightening people into religion. I would rather frighten somebody into heaven, than to lull them into hell. Some, Jude says, we are to save with fear, snatching them from the fire. So fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then also the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord, and that's a good thing. And that means to have a reverence or respect for the Lord. And the reason is, if we fear God, we don't have anything else to fear. But today, there is a destructive kind of fear. It is the spirit of fear. And you know, fear develops because we have forgotten who God is. And we have forgotten what God has done. And we need to remember this. We need to remember that our God is the Almighty God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And Paul wrote his letter to Timothy there, and he wrote to put him in remembrance of some things. And this is one of the things that he wanted Timothy to remember, that God had not given him a spirit of fear. And if we don't remember what God has done, and if we don't remember the power of God, the natural thing is for us to worry. You know, we can worry ourselves sick. Worry is a terrible thing. And Jesus, speaking of the last days, he said, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Their hearts would give out because they were that afraid. And people with a spirit of fear, they have physical problems that are brought on or enhanced by that fear. As someone said, fear is making a good living today. Adrian Rogers said, fear in your life is like sand in machinery. Faith in your life is like oil. It lubricates life. Fear will do the same thing to you that sand will do to machinery. So we need to remember the power of God. And sometimes we forget how unhealthy fear is. Look at how we are being controlled by fear. Mass panic, hysteria, it's being brought on by fear. Resources are depleted. Try buying toilet paper. If you haven't been to the store lately, you'd be amazed. You can't buy a lot of things. You can't buy hand sanitizers. You can't buy a lot of goods. And it just seems to be getting worse. First it was the paper things, now it's canned food and it's food. Do you notice how your freedom can be taken from you overnight? We now see how easy it is for everything to be just come undone. And ultimately, fear is a killer and it's a destroyer. I would like to encourage you, if you're having a problem with fear, there is a good book that I have just purchased and began to read. It's by Max Licato, and it's simply called Fearless. It is an excellent book, and I recommend it for our times. As I was thinking about this, you know, the very first emotion that man had after sin was fear. Adam said, I was afraid. I was afraid and I hid myself. And so God knows that this natural reaction for us is to fear. And so he says, Jesus himself said in one out of every six commands, do not be afraid, or fear not, or let not your heart be troubled, or something to that effect. So now here are three elements that you can take and put into your life: power and love and of a sound mind. And if you have these three things, you can be free from the bondage of fear. First of all, to be endued with power. That is courage. The power that he is talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know why we're afraid? Do you know why we are afraid when we are afraid? It's because fear is at its center is a perceived loss of control. We fear when things have gotten out of control. We fear when we don't have the resources to meet our enemy, whatever that any enemy might be. This virus, people look at it as their enemy, and so they fear the loss of resources, and so what do? They go and hoard. I mean, if the foe that we feel is bigger than we are, then we are afraid. But if I understand that I have a greater strength than my foe, then there is no need for me to be afraid. And what does the scripture say? Greater is he that is in me than he or what is in the world. We need to, yes, glimpse at our problems. I'm not saying we should ignore them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take necessary precautions. I'm not saying that at all. We need to recognize the problem, but we need to focus our gaze upon God. The second thing is we are to be enriched with love, and that is compassion. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, perfect love casts out all fear. In other words, love counteracts fear. This verse says literally, I don't have to be afraid because God loves me perfectly. You don't have to be afraid today because you are a child of God and God loves you perfectly. And where his love is present, fear is cast out. And so now I just rest in that love. And I can say, Lord, no matter what happens to me, I know that you love me. And because you love me and because you are all powerful, then I realize that all things work together for my good because I am called according to your purpose. There's one other thing, though, that is necessary. Not only does God endue us with power and not only does God enrich us with love, but God also enlightens us with a sound mind. Enlightened with a sound mind or enlightened with discipline, being able to discipline my mind. This is control. Fear finds a foothold in our midst, and then when fear comes in, things are blown way out of proportion. Now, these words, sound mind, literally mean that God has given us discipline or self-control or a discerning spirit. It means to have wise discretion. You see, so many of the things we are afraid of, we are afraid not on the basis of reality, but because the deceiver has made us afraid. We need to be sensible. We need to be balanced. It means actually to be level-headed, to be able to access reality clearly. Refuse to give in to the irrational behavior which fear causes us to do. It is the ability to keep our fear in check in the face of panic or passion. And the problem with this virus and all of this information that we are getting is that it is hard to keep things in balance because we don't know the truth. Where do you turn to get the truth in that? You know, you can make statistics say almost anything you want. You can interpret them in many different ways. So where do you turn to for the truth? It was Megyn Kelly. She had sent out a tweet the other day, and this is what she said. She said, I am so frustrated right now that we can't trust the media to tell us the truth without inflaming it to hurt the president, that Trump has misled so many times we no longer know when to trust his word, that even I as a journalist, this is what Megyn Kelly said, even I as a journalist am not sure where to turn for real info on the COVID virus. And that is the problem that we have. We don't know who to trust in this thing. What is a sound view on what is happening. Eric Barger said, when viewed in context, this virus is presently affecting far fewer people and is projected to take far fewer lives than common influenza does every year. This is a fact. However, that is not to say that it is not serious or that it couldn't become far worse. COVID-19 is far more contagious and it can be carried and spread for several days by individuals who are not exhibiting any symptoms nor even aware they are infected. But then he says, what is at issue, besides the disease itself, is the public's perception and reaction to this crisis. I guarantee that those who want to take evil advantage, especially of our way of life, are carefully watching how this current scenario plays out. The globalists love chaos, just as revolutionaries do. Let's not forget what Obama, the then soon-to-be chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, stated back in 2008. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And but what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. Now, I'm not suggesting we get into a political debate about this. I'm just saying that there are things out there that the Christian needs to be aware of but not be afraid of. Because God has given us a sound mind. That is this, we are able to take these things and to look at them in the clear light of God's word. And many times you just kind of have to grab yourself by the scruff of the neck, you know, and make yourself analyze these things and make the right choices. When fear comes knocking, don't let it in. You see, we have to look past what might happen to us. We have to stop looking at the immediate moment and see that ultimately, God is victorious. And that's what Paul did in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I put my belief in. I know where my faith and my trust lie. And I am persuaded, I am absolutely convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because I know where my faith is. I know whom I have believed, and I know that he is able to keep me. Now, that's a sound mind. He wasn't blown away by all the things that the devil was doing. He wasn't blown away by all the circumstances in life and the things that were happening to him. He had a commitment. He had a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot be blown away by the things that are happening in the times in which we live. We have to stand strong in our commitment to God and believe and have faith and put our trust in him that he knows what he's doing and all things are going to work together for good. So how do we respond? Because this is my prayer, is that people will come to us and say, how can you be so calm? How come you're not panicking? What is it about you that you are so different from the rest of us that we need to be ready to give an answer to a person who asks the reason for the hope that is in us? Four things here. Number one, they're taken right from this verse. I serve a powerful God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. My God is bigger than this virus. I don't need to fear because I have faith. Wouldn't you like to have faith in Jesus Christ so you're not afraid either? That's one of the things that we can do. Just tell people, I serve a powerful God. Number two, I serve and I know a loving God. Share the love of God with people. I am secure because God loves me. And encourage them to draw near to God. Because what does Paul say in Romans chapter 8 at the end of that chapter? That there is nothing that shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall be able to separate the child of God from the love of God. And so what we need to do is we need to show compassion to people. And that doesn't mean that we take the last roll of toilet paper and all the other toilet paper in the store and not leave it for anybody else. It means that we might want to check up on one another. I heard of a group of people that are getting together in Woodville. I love this. They contacted me and they said, Pastor, can we have the phone number for all of your shut-ins? Because we want to call them every day to make sure they are okay. This is what the church needs to do. The church needs to rise up and be the church. And I don't want to close our doors because I am praying that there are people that come to know Jesus Christ through this mess. And where are they going to come if our doors are closed? If our doors are locked in our homes or in our church building, I believe that this is the time for the church to shine. This is the time for the church to show itself to be the light in the midst of darkness. And we want people to know that we are here for them. And the third thing is, you tell them, God gives me a sound mind. I'm at peace. I am at rest. I know the Prince of Peace. He has given peace in my heart. The greatest fear, I think, the fear that is above all other fears, is the fear of death. People are afraid to die. If I get this virus, I'm afraid I'm going to die. But you know, for the believer, life and death is a win-win thing. The power of death has been defeated. We don't need to fear death. Jesus said that he has set free those who are taken captive by the fear of death, or the writer of Hebrews did. And then the fourth thing you can do is to warn them of a worse time coming for those who haven't received Jesus as their personal Savior. I believe that we should do that. I mean, this has got their attention. And you can tell them that there is a time of tribulation that is coming that will make this virus look like a picnic. And what we are seeing now is a shadow. Revelation talks about a great pestilence that's going to wipe out a huge percentage of the world's population. This is just a shadow of what is to come. We now see how easy it will be for somebody to rise up and take control of the world. If somebody were to rise up and say, I have the answer, I have the cure, we would follow them, whether they be God or man. People would follow them. It'll be easy for the Antichrist to take over. There will be incredible devastation. The tribulation will be the worst time to live in human history. How much better to ask Jesus into your heart now and watch it all from heaven? You know, in Luke, he talks about these signs of these times, and he mentions pestilence and problems in nations. He's really describing things that are happening in our day. And so what we are experiencing is a shadow of that time. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said that when these things begin, B-E-G-I-N, begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And I'm not saying that we should look to Jesus coming as a way of escape, but I think that we should look for him because the times are pointing to his return. And we need to be ready, and we need to make sure that our loved ones are ready, and we want to take as many people with us as we possibly can. So God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And may God bless you as you look to him in the days ahead. So did everybody receive that paper that the church has put out? If you did not receive that, could you raise your hand? I'd like everybody to have a copy. That's what Dave has there, I think. Yep. Now, the president has called for today to be a national day of prayer. So before we leave, I would like to pray. But I would also like to hear from you. I just want to sit down here and let you share your heart with me. And I'm willing to share my heart with you. But we will, if I have to cut it short, I will, because I do want to spend a little bit, some time in prayer here. So first of all, any questions, or why don't you come on? Can you come up here? Are we safe to pass this? I'll just hold it. Come on up, or I can go up there. I'll hold it.
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Ever since this has been going on, one particular verse came to my mind, and this goes back in Daniel. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been thrown into the fiery furnace, and what did they say? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire or from this virus. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The way I look at it this way, you know what? I'm not afraid of this. If he's going to deliver me one way or the other. If I get the virus and go up to heaven, I'm delivered. If I get it and I'm cured here, I'm delivered. If I don't get it, I'm delivered. Either way, I'm going to be delivered.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. The Christian can't lose. We absolutely cannot lose. Fran?
Can I sit down?
Can you sit down?
Yeah. And can you hold the mic for me?
Yeah.
I have to put this in my lap.
Oh.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't think the mic is on. It's on.
The what?
It's on. I got this from Cindy Craffey. She posted this on Facebook. I borrowed this from you, Cindy. This is how to pray at this time. And so what I would like to do, if we can, is to go through this and pray for these things. Is that okay? And the first thing that it says is to pray Psalm 91 over yourself and your family. I'm going to read a little bit of Psalm 91. These are the scriptures that we're standing on now. And this psalm has been really special for me because when I was going through my time of cancer, this was just, it was the scripture I stood on. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime. I'm going to skip a little bit. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And I think this would be a good psalm. It says, according to this, to pray this over your families. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your scripture. I thank you for Psalm 91 and for your good promises, that we don't have to be afraid of any pestilence that comes to us. And I just thank God. You know, we can be healthy at this time. I haven't had any sickness all winter long, and I haven't for the last few winters. And as somebody has had their spleen removed, I should have low immunity, but I don't. God is my healer. Anyway, I pray against fear. And I remind ourselves that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I think we just heard that. I pray for wisdom for our leaders to contain the spread of the virus while protecting people effectively. Pray for all of our leaders that they make the right decisions. And I especially pray for Trump because he's trying to calm everyone down. And I think that's a good thing. I pray for, at this time, a worldwide move of God. This is the time. This is the time where us Christians shine. I make a decree that the coronavirus will cease worldwide and that God will heal all who are currently affected by it. And we consecrate ourselves, our families, and our nation to God. And I think it would be a good thing to take communion at home more often. I think that would be a good thing. And right now, I want to pray for the healthcare workers in our church. And I don't know everybody who's involved in the healthcare employing, but I pray for Molly Malcine, Dave Gamble, and Valerie Bungard, because those are the three I know for sure, that they're out there, they're having to do with dealing with people that are sick. And so, Lord God, I lift everybody in our church right now who has anything to do with working in the health field, the nurses, the aides, the doctors, everybody. Lord God, protect our people from this virus. And I praise you and I thank you for that. And finally, the Lord said, I believe what the Lord said, was that when we pray, we should stop and listen for him and what he says to each one of us. And I think this is the greatest way to have faith that we're going to get through this. I mean, we can read the scriptures, but sometimes it's hard for your faith to be there, specifically if you've prayed for something and it didn't happen the way you thought God was going to come through for you. And all I can say is everybody is different. Everybody has a different way of hearing from God. But when you hear from him, you know that you know that you know that he's taking care of this problem. So what I'm going to do right now, if it's okay, is I'm going to say a little prayer, and I'm going to be quiet, and I would ask each of you to ask God to give you a word. And if he gives you something, write it down in the back of your bulletin. If you don't hear from him, I just, you know, I believe that he will speak to you sooner or later about it. We need to be quiet before God. He's talking all the time. We're just not listening. And right now, he's given us the gift of time. We have the time now to spend with God and get right with him and hear from him for our specific needs. So, Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to move on the hearts of everyone here. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word that you gave us this morning, that your peace is here and you are lighting the way. And Lord God, I would ask that you speak to each person here. We trust you and we believe that you are with us and you protect us from the pestilence.
That was wonderful. Not only did she share from her heart, but got to pray as well. I would like all of you that work in healthcare, nurses, CNAs. I don't think we have any doctors, but would you stand? Because I want to recognize you today, and I want to point you out so that people can pray for you. So would you stand? I want you to look around and remember them and pray for them. They're putting their health on the line on a daily basis. And I was talking with Dave yesterday, and I appreciate so much what they do. And I feel that what they do for the body, the church needs to do for the soul. And they go into some rough places, but they made themselves available. And that's, how can we as a church do any less to make ourselves available to people who need spiritual help? Oh, sure.
I'm Rachel.
That's my daughter, Rachel. And Rebecca's off right now on leave, but she'll be going back.
Emma.
Trina.
Janelle. Amen.
I don't need a mic. Dave.
Molly, everybody knows Molly. Right? All right. Thank you so much, guys and gals. Yeah, Dave. Actually, remember others that have to go out and work in public places, too.
So some of you don't know me. Some of you maybe wish you didn't. No, I'm... But my name's Dave Gammel. I am a paramedic. I have been a paramedic for 36 years. I was a paramedic when AIDS first came on the scene, and we were all going to die from AIDS, and AIDS was going to just obliviate everybody. And we had to go from not really worrying about blood. Blood was a badge of courage. If you got soaked in blood, then you had a call that, you know, okay, you did something. Those things have changed, and we have changed with the times. We have been through viruses like this before. The last huge pandemic was in 1918. They have been saying for the 30 years I've been in healthcare, we've got a big one coming. We are due. I personally don't think this is it. I think this is a practice run for the one that does come. If you look at countries that have been hit with this that have good health care, the one I heard was South Korea. They've had about a 1% mortality rate. The ones we have to be really, really worried about is when we get into a 30, 40, 50% mortality rate. When do we get excited? When should we start worrying? The news media is off the charts. I'm going to say this, so then, James, if you need to edit it out, that's fine. The liberal schools and corporations are off the charts, and I think they have an agenda. I'll let you decide what that might be. We can't trust the news. I saw something, because I trust Facebook, right? Everybody trusts Facebook? So... I saw something on Facebook, I think it was last night, and it really made sense to me. When you see the doctors, the nurses, the paramedics getting excited, that's the time to get excited. When you see reports of doctors, nurses, other healthcare professionals that are frontline refusing to go to work because they don't want to infect themselves or their families, that's the time to go, might be something to this. I might really need to be very, very cautious. And there are people that are going to die from this virus. I will not be surprised at all if I get this virus. In theory, I'm somewhat healthy. I've had the flu before. I'm going to be sick for a week or two. Oh, well. I have Amazon Prime. No, I'm...
I can't buy anything.
So, but the other thing I think that we need to be mindful of is that there are people that are off the charts concerned and scared about this. Please try to have empathy for them. Try to have understanding. we get, and Molly will back me up on this, I hope. We get called to all sorts of stuff, from somebody who is dying to somebody who needs a Band-Aid. We get called on the ambulance for people that don't even need a Band-Aid. When I'm called and when I show up, I need to have empathy for that person who is going through a crisis, even if it's their own little crisis. I need to act like this is an emergency, I need to take it serious, and I need to take care of them. So when somebody, if you have a friend that's off the charts with this, be patient, listen. Accept their feelings, accept what they think about this, and then use this as an opportunity to be to bring Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, into their life and show them and the scriptures of how they can relieve their anxieties and their fears. That's it. For a teacher, that's pretty good. I don't know, about 5 minutes.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm impressed. Okay.
So I know some of you have to go, and
God has laid on my heart right now, and he says, everybody stand for God. Stand for God.
That's okay. Stand for God. All right, and while we're standing, let's pray. Yeah. And then if you have to go, you can go. Otherwise, I'm willing to stay around here and just talk. I agree with Dave that we should not take other people's fears lightly. They have those fears. We need to be patient and understanding with them. And if they don't know Jesus, it's not surprising that they are afraid. It really is not surprising. I think we need to really look out for each other and what can we do for each other. Rebecca posted something on Facebook yesterday I was afraid it was going to happen. People were selling baby formula, a can of baby formula. Was that Facebook Marketplace? It was on something else. $70 a can. To take away from babies who need that for survival. I mean, this is the kind of thing fear, and not only fear does, but that's making merchandise of people's fears, which is even worse. Let's pray. And if you want to pray, just go ahead, lead out. And realize today that as we are praying, there are prayers going up, not only all across our country, but probably across our world. Christians are binding together to pray against this virus. Lord, and we do bind together today as a church body, as Christians across the nation, Lord, as believers in other parts of the world, we bind together. I thank you for our vice president and how he's leading this task force, and he's a man of prayer, and he's called his task force to pray, and I know that there are people that are making fun of him, saying that prayer is outdated and irrelevant, but we know that prayer is the only thing that works. And we know that every day when we pray, that prayer is fresh. Lord, and our prayer today, being bound together, Lord, as one, as burdened together, as touching the problems of our nation, and in particular this virus not only affecting our nation, but other parts of the world even more so than here. Lord, we ask that it would be stopped. Lord, that this virus would be stopped. And yet at the same time, Lord, we pray that you would accomplish good through it. Because we know that you are able to take any situation and you are able to turn it around and work for good. And I pray that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as they look and at the reality of death. And whether that death is now because of the virus or later on in life, someday it'll happen. And people would come to grips with it. We don't like to talk about death. And yet it's a reality that we need to be prepared for. So, Lord, I pray that you would bring people into the church. I pray that you would bring people into the lives of your people here, and that they will be ready to give an answer of why they can have peace and why they're not afraid, and that you would take whatever words they say and through the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it would take and change people's lives and hearts, and people would turn their lives in your direction. I pray for a hedge of protection to be built around all of our people, Lord, and especially the elderly and those that are have health issues that have weakened their immune system and hindered their ability to fight off the virus. Protect them, Lord. Protect our loved ones as they deal with people who have this disease in the days to come. Protect them. Keep them safe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We can sing just one moment. Amy sent me a video, and I'm trying to figure out, I figured out how to do it. I'm going to show it at a later date, but it's somebody who's criticizing our Pence because, as I said in my prayer, number one, prayer is outdated, and number two, it is irrelevant. Just the opposite is true. Prayer is the answer. We're going to sing, what is it you want us to sing, Fran? Hallelujah. And then after that song, I just want to ask if there are any questions about what we're doing as a church. If you have any questions about that, I would like to answer those before we leave. Yes, Amy. Yeah. Yeah, not everybody who has the sniffles has. Yeah, Danny?
Well, I've been trying to talk myself out of it for the last 10 minutes. The Lord kept prodding me to say something.
Okay.
Just that as Christians, we're called to be courageous. Mm-hmm. And in all things are for God's glory. Everything is for God's glory. And a lot of this is you've talked about. Study up and see it coming, and not be scared of what he says is coming, and carry that. I've had a couple opportunities. I travel. I've had some opportunities to show it, and it's a beautiful chance to witness.
Yeah.
To show, you know, when I can say, I rebuke you, and with confidence,
yep.
Walk into it. It does something more than just talking about it. So
yep.
We've got an opportunity to. Not only share our knowledge, but show our knowledge and courage. You know, not say I could walk through the fire, just get up and walk through that fire.
Yeah.
And I just encourage everybody. Somebody told me I got a little gift of encouragement, but I encourage everybody to study end times and be prepared for it. And because these things are going to just keep coming in waves, and they're going to try to confuse us and separate us from our Lord.
Yeah.
We gotta know the truth, and we gotta be able to discern the enemy from our Lord.
Good word.
Because he's gonna be sneaky.
Anyway, yeah, that's true. That's a good word. Good word. And Danny is an inspiration to me because he's not afraid to share his faith with anybody.
Amen.
So, I love that courage. Al.
I get the same problem as Dan. I gotta talk.
Okay. I'm in no rush. I'm in no hurry. And if you need to be seated, you can sit and we can stand for the song.
About 2-3 months ago, this was given to me. I do two different devotionals. Okay. Sometimes one, sometimes the other, or sometimes both.
You're a little more soft-spoken than Danny.
Okay. I'll hold it. Okay. And those two devotionals, Will sent me to this verse, and it's really stuck on me, and it really applies today. It's what we're talking about. It's Philippians 4, fourth chapter, eighth verse. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, recognize the positives and all the good things that Lord gives us. Focus on them, celebrate them, and the negative things just kind of fall away.
Amen. Good word. Thanks for sharing. One other thing I wanted to say before I forget, too, and if anybody feels like you need to stay home, please, please feel free to do so. I'm not going to look down on you. I don't think anybody else from the church would look down on you at all. If you feel that's what you need to do, please do that. And we are going to try to make sure that, you know, we do have the CDs and DVDs free of charge to you. And we're working on doing some online streaming, even if this doesn't continue. But for those who are elderly and can't make it to church, we don't want to leave them out. We want them to feel a part. So, all right, let's sing Alleluia. Where's Pastor Josh? You got to help us out here. Get us started. You don't want me to start it. Cindy, is that a hand up to say something? Okay.
I suppose I got to move on. And I do want everyone to hear this quick. Yesterday, our grandkids came to visit, and we were talking about this virus going through, and we got a little 7-year-old granddaughter. And I was saying, you know, something that you could do is write letters and send them to the people in the nursing homes near you. Just put it. They're from Shell Lake, so Shell Lake or Spooner, just put it to the nursing home. And you know what, Riley? Tell them about how you love Jesus. Share your heart. And it was just great. Her eyes just got big, and she said, oh, Grandma, I can do that. And how they would love to hear a letter, get a letter from a child about their love for Jesus. So, you know, if you're looking for something and how you can make a difference, write a letter. It's so uncommon, they'll be thrilled that they got a letter. So just one of the ways you can reach out. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, look for ways to minister to people. Look for ways to show love and compassion. Any questions about the church and how the church is going forward or anything like that? Any questions about the letterhead we sent out? You snuck up on after my
Cindy,
right hand.
Yeah, after Cindy just shared that, because I had that exact same thought before bed last night of, you know, really this burden on my heart for society and how it's going to affect them as far as depression and social anxiety and everything like that. Or, you know, and yeah, I mean, what do you do with a bunch of school kids that aren't going to school? They want to do art projects. Send those off. You know, parents worried about missing work because they don't have childcare. There's how many middle school and high school students that hopefully are going to be willing to babysit. And I just feel the need to share that, you know, I already went through this living in complete fear. And I think that's where, you know, there was this burden on my heart for praying for society, because I've already been to that place where I shut out everything. And when Pastor said it today, it was like, you can't hide from God's love. That it took me hiding from everything to really, truly understand God's love and to just have faith and recognize that part of all of this, even the bad parts that you see, are an answer to your prayers. And that God has already, I just needed to share a testimony, as there's all this kind of like worry that in our family, this pandemic was an answer to prayers, that we're living on faith like we've never lived on faith before. And Jared had a job opportunity come up, and it was one of those of, right at first it was like, yep, that's tempting, but we know now's not the time yet. And he closed the door and said, nope, to that job. The guy turned around and called him back on Monday and said, what is it gonna take to get you out here? We were able to list all our criteria, our non-negotiables and everything, and the guy came back with an offer, and a good offer, and the only thing that we had an issue with was it had a March 30th start date. And so praying and praying, going, okay, God, where's your test here? Where's your test? Like, is it to have our family in two separate places and how we need to cling to you to do that? Or is it a test in... It ultimately came down to this decision for our family to move, and Jared changes jobs, is to put family and faith and serving and everything first. So when it came down to the decision to take this job now, meant our son's currently in Mexico on spring break with some friends, that by the time Connor returned back, Jared and Connor would have 3 days together before Jared would move on to the next chapter of life, and we would no longer be a single household. And it was like, whoa, that is not, that's counterproductive to why we're making this decision. And we felt such at peace with that, but it was going to be so hard the next day to call back and say no to that job again. And in the meantime, the world has fallen apart. And I just started laughing as I was discussing it with Jared, going, you know, if we didn't already know that, like, this last couple months before Connor graduates high school is so important for our family, like, what else besides, you know, the world going crazy to be a time of Jared going, I'm the protector of this household, I need to stay home, I need to be with my family. And then I just started laughing, because our prayers have so, I mean, it's, God, show us discernment, we're new to this, we don't get this, hit us with a brick. And I got off the phone with Jared, and it legit was one of those of like hearing God's voice going, was a pandemic big enough? Like, did I get your attention that you're to stay home? This is not the time. This job will stay. And in the meantime, we haven't heard back from this guy. He was traveling himself from one job site to another. So Jared potentially doesn't even have to worry about like closing that door. It is just going to be the world's gone nuts right now, like everything's on hold, that offer still stands. When the timing's right, it'll be there. And so, praise Jesus, this has been just God showing us how much he's here for us. So, thank you.
Great testimony. Well, it's a growing time, isn't it? I think it's an exciting time. There are a lot of opportunities for us. I mean, yes, it's a frightening time in some respects, but it's a tremendous opportunity that we have as well. So if there are no other, Glenn has one more thing here, and then you.
You know, the idea of writing letters to people in the nursing home or whatever is a good idea. I'd like to encourage some of you who like to write letters to write letters to the editor. Writing a letter to an editor, many people are going to read it, and it's a good way to share your faith. And I know I've written letters to the editor in the past, and I'd like to send them to Hudson, to the Hudson paper. It goes to New Hudson and New Richmond, and it gets out to the big area. And I'd just like to encourage people to do that, letters to the editor. We see a lot of negative letters to the editor, and it's nice to see a few positive letters to the editor. And easy way to share your faith and with many people.
So. Amen. Good. All right. God bless you. You have a wonderful day, and we will see you back here next Sunday.